What does it mean that Paul was set apart? What does it mean that we're set apart? If the Bible teaches that we're set apart before the foundation of the world, why do so many live such ruined lives? Why are they not coming to the knowledge of God? If you're praying for someone, why is God not answering that prayer? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim concludes a message dealing with the truth that God's calling of election also has a corresponding time of revelation. And just as Paul had many years of persecuting the church before the fullness of his time had come, so too might we. We invite you to join us for the powerful conclusion of this message. So here is Pastor Jim.
Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1 as we continue in our journey through Galatians. We're up to verse 11, so if you find verse 11, we're going to take a very large chunk of Scripture today. I just couldn't figure out where to break this set up. So if you find that, and then please stand with me, and we will honor God with the reading of His Word. Galatians 1, beginning in the 11th verse. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. Now, I could have stopped right there. That's a whole sermon by itself, but we needed the rest of this. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him for 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went to the region of Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And note this last verse here, verse 24. And they glorified God because of me. When he who set me apart before I was born, well, that sounds a little bit like what we teach, doesn't it? That sounds a little bit like God had made the decision before he was born. In fact, we really know how long before he was born that God made that decision, don't we? Before the foundations of the world. That's what the Scripture said. Remember, we've talked about the Lamb's Book of Life and how the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life were all written there for the foundation of the world. Not because of what someone would do. Because look at what it says. Paul says, he who set me aside. Paul hadn't realized it yet. When the time was right, he sure did. But he who set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. What is it that saves us? Is it our intelligence? Is it our denomination? No. Is it our good looks? If that's what it was, we'd be in some of them trouble, right? Is it who we know? Isn't that how some people get promoted? Isn't that how you get promoted into Christ? No. It is the grace of God that saves us. That is what He uses to save us. I love the way Paul just lays out doctrine. You know, we can argue all day long about what this means, what that means. But sometimes it's just so clear and so plain that there really isn't anything to argue about, right? Paul does that often. Verse 16, he says, was pleased to reveal his son to me when the time was right. If you are here today and you are saved because the one who set you apart before the foundations of the world, when the time was right, revealed His Son to you, that your eyes would be open, your ears would be open, and you would have ears to hear and eyes to see, all because of a work He did in your heart called regeneration. This is something we need to make sure we do not forget. The salvation that we have, we did not earn. In fact, we go as far as to say we believe that the salvation that we have, we do not deserve. If we got what we deserved, we would get the penalty of sin. And Paul makes that very clear in Romans, doesn't he? That penalty, he repeats over and over, is death. Death. That's what we deserve. But God's grace. God's grace is different than anything else that we face. God's grace, what does the song say? Amazing grace. That's exactly what it is. It's amazing because it took a wretch like me, the song says, someone who did not live according to what honors God, and changed me. I think that's Paul's song, don't you? I think Paul would say that song fits him. Paul says, I am the chief of sinners. Or in other words, he was the wretch that was saved by the grace of God. And that's what he's telling us here. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's what happened to you and I if you're saved. It wasn't because of some class you took, though God might have used a class. It wasn't because of somebody's witness that you heard, though He might have used that witness in pouring out His grace. It was because the time was right for Him to reveal His Son, so He regenerated your heart so that you could see. Now, as Paul began to continue here, he says that he didn't go and get this gospel from Peter. He went for 3 years before he went and consulted with any of those apostles. The only one he had seen before that time was Ananias, right? Ananias, who came after he was blinded and told him what God had planned for him and sent him into service. He said, I didn't receive it from any of them. I received it from God. Now let's stop there for just a second. Let's think about it. What do you suppose the scripture tells us that Stephen was preaching when Paul was watching before he was stoned? Was he preaching about how to have your best life now? You reckon not? Probably not. He was preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected. Paul was standing there. Paul heard it, but it meant nothing to him. Though he heard it, he didn't hear it. I can say this. Sometimes Cynthia, I will be talking to her, and then she'll say, what'd you say? I might have been talking for 20 minutes. And I can say it because every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, she's talking to me, and then I have to say, huh? What'd you say? Am I the only one that that's happened to? Have you ever been talking or someone's been talking to you and you just missed it? Yeah. Paul missed it. He did. And there's a reason he missed it. Look at the letters of Revelation. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Paul didn't have ears to hear. He had no ability to hear the things that are spiritual. Yet, as he was persecuting the church, do you suppose, as he was trying to make them blaspheme God, that they didn't tell him the truth again? That he didn't hear the gospel again, as he was persecuting? But he didn't hear it. It was poured out before him and he didn't hear it. That's why you can be in a church service or in a group, in a Bible study or something, and they're studying the Word of God, and all of a sudden somebody says, I see. All of a sudden somebody is saved because of the grace of God, and the person sitting right next to him or who heard all the exact same things is not moved at all. This is Paul's conversion. And this is what he was hearing before his conversion. But it never registered. It never. He goes on to tell us that the people throughout the region were hearing. They were hearing about this one who used to persecute the church, who now was preaching the truth. We have that happen in our own churches, brothers and sisters. Somebody who has fallen away. Somebody who has done things to shame God, to shame the church, to shame their family, to shame themselves. In this world, God gets a hold of and turns them around, and they are no longer who they were. And just like some of the apostles, sometimes we have a little hard time with it, don't we? Well, don't you know what he used to do? Don't you know who he is? I've had people tell me that about people within our church. For years I've had that happen. For years people say, well, don't you know about that? Chuck Swindoll, I was listening to him. This was a few months ago. I was riding the mower and listening to him. And he told his congregation, he said, if you knew me, who I was growing up, even today, what I think, he says, you would not be here. You would get up and walk out. Isn't that us, brothers and sisters? Our thinking gets messed up. And we don't trust what God has done. Now, sometimes there's a reason. We've seen people who have said, oh, God has done this and He has changed me and I'm this. We've seen it in the public eye. And then all of a sudden they're right back to where they were. One of the things that always sticks in my mind is the preacher in Colorado who was found to have cheated on his wife with a man. And he left the ministry for a short time. Then he came back to the ministry and he said he had not only repented, but he had over-repented. We do need to be cautious. But when God is moving and He has moved on someone, we cannot stand in His way. The apostles could have said, stop, Paul. People know all about those things that you did. You can never be a witness. Just live your quiet Christian life somewhere. Aren't you glad they didn't? Aren't you glad? In fact, what did they do? They sent him. Once he did come and see and become a part, they sent him with this gospel that God opened his ears to himself. Now the question has come often. It's come through our radio stuff. It's come through other means that we have. How does somebody who has never heard of Jesus get saved? Can God not show himself if he chooses to? But with Paul, as we look at his salvation, Paul was on the road to Damascus, right? Let me just read that text. I'm going to jump ahead in my notes. This is Acts 22, beginning in the first verse. I think I'll pick up in the fourth verse, if I can find it. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women. As the high priest and the whole council of the elders can bear me witness, from them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and to bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. Listen now. As I was on my way, I drew near to Damascus. About noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone on me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Was Paul seeking Jesus Christ? Was he looking to be converted? You know, there's the story I tell you from Texas about the man who was called a soul winner there and how he would just drive along and go wherever he felt God leading him, and how he went to one house and knocked on the door. The man said, come in. And the man in the living room there was in a hospital bed, dying. And he spent some time introducing himself and telling him about Jesus Christ and asked the man if he wanted to know Jesus Christ. And the man began to cry, saying, "I've been waiting for someone to ask me that." Do you believe it was an accident that he happened to come to that house? But Paul wasn't even asking for it. Paul had no desire to have anything to do with being a person of the way. Paul wanted to persecute, to destroy those who followed Jesus Christ. He didn't want anything to do with them. But God had other ideas, didn't he? Paul never asked for it. Paul to a Bible study. Paul never was seeking God. Paul was doing what Paul did in the flesh. And because he was set aside, as all Christians are, before you were ever born, God at the right time opened his eyes and he was saved. Talk about an about face. That's an about face, isn't it? That's going one way, turning around and going the other way. And any direction you are going that is not directly towards God is away from God. Sometimes we get to be a little Christianist, you know, kind of ishish. There is no such thing. We're either going to God or away from God. That's it. And what gets in our way is what did not get in Paul's way. Ourselves. Paul did not let himself get in his own way. He continued to serve. He continued to do what is right because that is what God called him to do and that is where God sent him. Paul tells of all the things that he went through. I'll give you a couple different verses with this. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 11 and 12, "To the present hour we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed, and buffeted and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled," oh, he says we bless. "When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure." That is how we should be. When people come down on us, when people attack, let's bless them. When things aren't going the way that we think they should, let's turn it over to God and do what makes much of him, that he be known. Verse 22, "And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.'" And that 24th verse, that glorious 24th verse, "And they glorify God because of me." Folks, do you need to be Paul to live in a way that God is glorified because of you? You don't have to be Paul, do you? You have to be you as God sends you. You have to do those things. You have to do those things that some will curse and others will praise God and glorify God. That takes me back to where we started with Franklin Graham. I don't necessarily agree with Franklin Graham on every point of doctrine. In fact, there's a lot of points of doctrine that if he and I were to sit down, we would have a discussion on the differences. However, Franklin Graham is our brother in Christ. He serves God. And through the Samaritan's Purse, the Billy Graham Association, all of those things, people glorify God because of him. Would you agree? So the simple question comes, do people glorify God because of you? If not, you need to make the change. It's not anyone around you that needs to make the change. You need to make the change. If you can't make that change, then the question is, do you know him? Because if we do as he calls us to, we do amazing things. Not in our flesh, but in his spirit. And people hear it and know it. You know, something that just blesses my heart. One of the guys that used to come to church here that was from South Africa, Lindor, and Sabu both, those two guys, when they message me, they'll say things, how is my pastor? And that blesses me. That blesses me. Because somewhere in the little bit of time that they had here in America, in this church, God used this church and me and you to bless them that they would glorify God in heaven. That should be the work that we do. Our church's verse has been our verse since 2001 when we first started. It's on the back of every bulletin that has ever been printed for Lighthouse Baptist Church. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are they seeing your works and giving glory to the Father? Please stand with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this message, we ask, Father, that you move in us, that you be seen in us, that you be glorified in us, that others would know of you, that you would use us as you use Paul, and that we would withstand as you strengthen Paul, strengthen us when we are attacked, and we do get attacked. When those things come against us, and it feels like it's one thing on top of another thing, whether it's illnesses, whether it is financial problems, whether it is whatever, may we find our strength in you, and may you be glorified in us as we continue to serve you. No excuses, but go forward for your honor and glory. Father, I pray that you have spoken to all who are here, that by your Spirit you have moved, that they have heard from you, that it not be like Stephen's wonderful message that fell on the deaf ears of Paul, but that it be like Peter's message that moved many by your Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
What a glorious and wonderful reality. God has His timing for our lives, and the things that we do on the way to that time do not unmake our potential for usefulness in the kingdom. What's more, when the time of your salvation comes, you can be a source of glory to God. You can live a life that causes others to glorify God, no matter what your life looked like before. Grace is that good. God is that good, and He is that powerful. It is impossible for you to ever make His grace impotent. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. Or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or finally, you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We'd like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene. And on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
friends, Pastor Jim here with today's final word. I have a couple of things I want to talk with you about today, so let's get right to it. First off is about the way we walk, the way we behave, the way we are a witness for Christ. We must stand for Him and for His name, and people must see Him in us. 1 John 2:6 says, "Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." Or 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Folks, as I've gone through this last week, I have seen a number of examples of people who call themselves Christian and yet live like the world. Now, it's not my place to judge them. It is my place to point them to Christ. And at every opportunity, I have done that. But folks, it's something that each of us needs to examine in ourselves. Are we walking in such a way as to walk as He walked? Today's world would teach us that it doesn't matter how you walk, it doesn't matter what you do, that as long as you have His forgiveness, everything will be okay. But folks, that is not the truth. The truth is if we belong to Him, we will do as He does. He says that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. That doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly, but it does mean that we're going to go out of our way, do what is right, to walk as He walked, to live as He lived. And it means we're going to go out of our way not to love the world or the things in this world. That's really where the big problem is. We get so in love with ourselves and our things. We get so in love with what's important to the world, but has no value in Christ, that we would tear each other down, that we would backbite, we would chew each other up and spit each other out just because what we want. Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, "False Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." There are those who have risen up, false teachers, false prophets, to tell you that it is okay to live as the world when it is not. This is a subject that is dear to my heart because the example you give draws people to Christ, not only with your lifestyle, but also with your mouth. We must live and speak those things of Christ. Or in other words, we must walk the walk and talk the talk. And that needs to be no matter where we're at. If we are alone in private, it needs to be that way. If we are in public, it needs to be that way. Walk the walk and talk the talk. It needs to be who we are and not a show that we put on. Because if it's a show that we put on, we're in sin. And most likely, we are lost in sin still. I ask the Lord to reveal to you your own heart and that you would get on your knees accordingly and repent of those things that have been wrong, those things you have done, those things that would tear down the name of Christ so that He may be glorified. Now that I have shared that soapbox, let me move on to the next subject. The next subject is we have had this Abolish Abortion Kansas rally. I want to ask your continued prayer that states around this country would take up the legislation to end abortion, to end it, not to play with it, not to manipulate it, not to regulate it, but to end it. In doing so, we need to step up. We need to be people who will fill in the gap for those who would have an abortion. That might mean there's somebody who has a financial need to be able to carry a child and to deliver the child. There might be somebody who needs help financially for adopting a child or someone who needs to adopt a child. There's a number of different ways. There's clearly the need for support to those who would change their mind and carry a baby instead of aborting it. So let's keep it in prayer, and then let's put feet to our prayers and be used of God however He sees fit. Until next time, friends, Sola Deo Gloria.